Very nice. We've just had Flower Stream, Great South, and Crush, and Electric Orange all in a row. But here we are. We are with Peter Lynham for the first time for me in a few weeks. So hello, Peter.
Hello. How are you going?
I'm going really well. It's nice to chat to you again. How you been?
Yep, fantastic. Yep.
Oh, good.
Very good. Very good.
Nice.
I'm just back from a really interesting conference over the weekend on LGBT people and faith.
Ah.
Really, really interesting.
And what, any kind of insights you want to chat about today, or are you, we're talking about something different?
I'll mull on that.
Okay.
And come back with you on a topic another day.
Indeed. Well, lay it on us. What's going on today?
So I thought we'd look at the way in which they choose a new Archbishop of Canterbury.
Okay.
Because this is one of these things that rumbles along for months, and probably doesn't hit highlights at any particular point. So why not fill in right now and getting to grips with of the weird existence of a state church in a Western society. It really is quite strange.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the Archbishop of Canterbury will be chosen by the King on the recommendation of the Prime Minister.
Oh.
Sometime or other, probably at the end of this year. And that seems pretty strange in the present day. But it's still a state church. The Archbishop of Canterbury and 24 of his fellow bishops sit in the House of Lords and therefore are quite a sector of
votes
which the Prime Minister needs to manage. And so he's not unmindful of that aspect, that he can't afford to end up that all his measures are going to be voted down in Parliament. And while they've still got a House of Lords, that makes it a fairly significant factor in the conduct of the state.
Interesting. And so do they, do they kind of discuss, they being the kind of, you know, the government, do they discuss things and then kind of turn around to the Archbishop of Canterbury and go, what do you think? Is this moral? How does it work?
The fact is, there's a little bit of that consultation goes on, but far less than ever in the past. In the past, Archbishops of Canterbury have been the chief officer of the state at times, but then we have to go back to the 16th century. But even as recently as the divorce of King Edward in the 1930s, the Archbishop of Canterbury played an absolutely critical role in that situation.
Hmm.
So they can't ignore the role. And they need to choose carefully. So what they have is a very curious body which has just got underway called the Crown Nominations Commission. And this is a body of 20 people presided over by, as it happens, we know the name, Jonathan Evans, who is Lord Evans of Weardale.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the head of MI5.
Okay.
Does seem a curious qualification for choosing the next Archbishop of Canterbury.
Direct line to God and also the devil, probably.
Yeah, well, precisely. He's got to check people out. That's what he knows. And that will be a really critical factor, of course.
Interesting.
Now, alongside him sits a whole lot of representatives of various parts of the Anglican world and the wider sort of community. So there's, oh, by the way, that chair does have to be an Anglican.
Right.
Though this one was once a Baptist, but there we are, for what it's worth.
Hmm.
So there are representatives from Africa, America, Middle East, Oceania, and Europe. So there might be a little voice of some Australian or New Zealander who would know. There's got to be representatives, because he is the local bishop for the region of Canterbury, which is south of London. So there's three of them involved, and six from the General Synod of the Church, and the Archbishop of York, although he might become the candidate, so he might stay out of it. And then they have and these are probably the interesting figures, the Prime Minister's Appointments Secretary and the Archbishop's Secretary for Appointments. So still today, you know, high figures in church and state have patronage. The notion of patronage is pretty weird for us, but patronage means when in your person, because of the role you hold, you can choose people to fill various roles. And so there are stacks and stacks of roles in the Anglican Church where either the state or the church sort of elect somebody with no consultation with anybody else on the side. And so those come down to the Prime Minister's Appointment Secretary and the Archbishop's Secretary. And so it's a pretty heavy loaded committee. And then they have to make a long list and then make, and then slowly eliminate down to a short list and then interview candidates. And then the candidate, if they've got any sense, will go away and prayerfully decide, not me, not me. Because this is an agonising role.
No doubt, you've got to be all things to all people and get nothing wrong, huh?
Well, and the thing is, you'll be blamed for everything that goes wrong. And that's what happened to the last chap who was at Welby, who in December of last year fell on his sword and took the blame for not remembering to check up in 2013 that one of the naughty people that they had discovered had been fiddling with boys had been reported to the police. Now, you'd think surely it was somebody else's job to do that, but the Archbishop was held responsible.
Wow, okay.
And I think more and more the state church is going to get blamed for everything going, because, you know, the whole existence of a state church means that it's going to pick up responsibility for a lot of dodgy stuff. How many unsatisfactory vicars or priests or bishops or you name it there are in England? Well, must be a lot. And you could also blame them for what happens further afield. His influence in New Zealand is pretty minimal.
Right.
But it's interesting that if any of them visit New Zealand, they're treated like, you know, really important people.
Yeah, right. Would you say that the Anglican people in the Anglican Church in New Zealand, like, what's the word, like respect, would you say they respect the position over there, or is it considered to be quite a different world?
Well, it's quite a different world. There's still that feel about the New Zealand Anglican Church of having a kind of smell of authority and of connection to important people. And because of that, which goes back to even right the very earliest days before New Zealand had any self-government, the moment it has had self-government, the Anglican Church lost any sense of authority. But while it had self-government, the Bishop of New Zealand sat on the Governor's Council. And so there's that. But there's also the factor that, in a way, I think Anglicans still depend upon the prestige of English Anglicanism to give them a sense of the status and, you know, grandness of the church that they belong to.
I get it, yeah, I get you. Yeah, that's because otherwise it's just, you know, it's kind of, what do you call it, doesn't have the, you know, the Anglican churches I know of here are not all massive, you know.
They're mostly very small.
Yeah.
There are very few large Anglican churches left in New Zealand, in Auckland. I mean, one or two would get to the 400 mark, but not beyond that, I don't think.
Yeah. So I can imagine that kind of connection to England being a little bit sort of almost nostalgic, but also a sense of pride.
Yes, that's right. That's right. But, you know, you do wonder, when on earth is this ridiculous connection going to come to an end? I mean, in effect now, I mean, originally it used to work that the Prime Minister wouldn't need to consult anybody else in making his choice of Archbishop. And then eventually he was being given two names and could choose between them. Now he's given just one name, but presumably can say no.
Right.
And then they'd have to do it again.
Mm.
So they're trying to work away from being a state church. But while they've got those seats in the House of Lords and while they're entangled with all the state business, it's going to be messy. And, of course, it's really bad for the Anglican Church because nobody has any respect for a state-based religion today.
No, interesting. I wonder who wants them in there the most, the government or the church or the king?
Well, remember that the king is officially the supreme governor of the church, so it's part of his title.
Mm.
And even Charles, who once wanted to be, what was it going to be? He was going to be head of religion, right? He wanted to be, you know, the guidance in religion, not in the church. But he seems to have come round to rather a more of an Anglican thing in his bloody old ways now. I think the high officials of the church actually do like this connection with the state.
Right. The people who don't have as much at stake themselves personally.
Yes. Well, in a way, they still have connections with power and influence. And they can always hope to get money to prop up their crumbling buildings.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of an issue in England, you can imagine.
Well. Hey, thank you so much. We have some news readers standing over me with clubs, forcing me off the phone. But I'll
let them destroy you. I'll get off the phone.
Lovely to chat. We'll speak again next week and look forward to the results of what you've been studying as well and hearing about this week too.
Very good.
Thank you, Peter.
See you.
Bye-bye. Well, just after this break, we will have what I like to call the 1-2-3 95 BFM Triple Punch. We got news, we got weather, we got surf. It's going to be great.
And food, and twine, books, clothes, vape supplies, and oil, and butter, drug testing, my brother.
For the best in hemp, you gotta keep it green. Hemp Store, K-Road.
The Hemp Store on K-Road is what we need.
Experience the Hemp Store at 253 Karangahape Road. For nationwide delivery, visit hempstore.co.nz or call 0800 HempStore.
For the best in hemp, you gotta keep it green. The Hemp Store on K Road is what you need.
I believe in like the solar system. I believe in space. I really do believe in space.
Spaced Out. Josh Auraki from Auckland Stardome Observatory and Planetarium talks everything spacey on Spaced Out. 4:40 every other Tuesday.
Ah! Guys! He finally asked me out! He says he knows a spot.
It better not be ice cream at Mission Bay.
I hope it's not under the harbour bridge.
Oh no! What if you have to walk up Mount Eden?
He better not think Minnehaha is original.
Oh, thank God. It's a beer spot. I can try the new local brews.
The 95 BFM Drive Show. A 3-hour psychedelic playground of japes, jive and jams. 4 to 7pm every weekday only on 95 BFM.
Thanks to the beer spot, your tappy place.
BFM Drive. Thanks to the beer spot, your tappy place.
BFM News.
Ahe ahe marie, good afternoon. Ko Sarah toko ingoa. Ko te rima karaka, it's 5 o'clock. The coalition government has just announced its highly anticipated $12 billion defence capability plan. In a press conference this afternoon, Prime Minister Christopher Luxton and Defence Minister Judith Collins shared the government's plan to invest $12 billion over the next 4 years to equip the New Zealand Defence Force to defend our national interests. They said that the plan, which would lift defence spending from just over 1% of GDP to more than 2% in the next 8 years, aimed to modernise and adequately equip the defence force in response to an inherently more dangerous world. The Defence Capability Plan set out the blueprint for spending for the next 15 years, with key investments relating to technological capacity and new weapon systems capable of responding to greater global threats. A new study has shown that major NZ cities are likely to succumb to rising sea levels sooner than expected. Coastlines near all major cities are sinking by a few millimetres a year, with the fastest rates being in Christchurch due to the city's 2011 earthquake impacting the land. Combined with already rising sea levels, most sea defences will be seriously threatened, with reclaimed or modified land to be affected the worst. Those involved with the study hope the data will be the first step in identifying vulnerable coastlines and urban areas, allowing for future development to be planned accordingly. In international news, Hamas has begun firing rockets at a number of major cities in southern Israel in response to Israel's continued bombardment of Gaza. A spokesperson for the IDF said that 10 projectiles were fired towards the southern Israeli city of Ashkelon, and although they were reportedly intercepted, one person is being treated for shrapnel injuries. According to a spokesperson from Hamas, the rocket fire was in response to Israel's resumed bombardment and ground operations in the central and southern Gaza Strip in March, breaking the permanent ceasefire that had been established on January 19th. According to the Palestinian Ministry of Health, almost 700 Palestinians have been killed in Gaza since the beginning of Israel's new operations. US officials have shared that more than 50 countries have reached out to begin negotiations after President Donald Trump's new tariffs. The sweeping import tax increase that has raised fears the global financial market will be upended. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, along with Trump's other cabinet members and economic advisers, have been out in full force defending the tariffs while downplaying the global impact. The decision to dramatically shift global trade has been the culmination of Trump's long-held view that foreign trade deals are unfair to the US. While New Zealand has been hit with a baseline 10% tariff, Prime Minister Christopher Luxon said that New Zealand is not among those who reached out for negotiations, but is seeking to minimise the impact for Kiwi businesses and workers. Ara te kawepūrongo, and that's the news.
A 95 BFM weather update.
Ane ngā tohu huarere mō tēnei rā, your weather report for today. Partly cloudy and sunny periods with a few scattered showers, fresh westerly winds, a high of 23 degrees, an overnight low of 16 degrees. Sunrise today was at 20 to 7 this morning, sunset will be just after 6 this evening. Ane ngā tohu huarere mō te pōpō, your weather forecast for tomorrow. Rātū Tuesday, partly then mostly cloudy with some showers and rain developing, a cooler night, fresh northwesterly to west southwesterly winds. And that's your news and weather. Ko Sera toku ingoa. The time is now 5:05 p.m.
That was a 95 BFM weather update. Thanks to climate change.
We're going to try and get Peter on the line for some surf-related chat, and then we'll be speaking to Elliot Dawson. Let's have a very quick Swallow the Rat tune, and then we will see if we can have some surf, and then we'll have some Elliot Dawson.
Drink milk, kill it. From the dark room to the green room, it's the 95BFM Surf Report, thanks to ProGear Photographic.
Oh, Pete, sorry about all of that. I think that was my fault, probably, I would dare say. How are you?
All good, mate, all good. I think I missed you, your call. You cut it short after about four rings. I was like, oh, damn.
Sometimes I do that when I feel impolite. I feel like there's a maximum number of rings before you're just intruding on somebody, but I suppose you're probably expecting the call. So anyway.
Mate, anytime. Good tunes, gig happening. Just cool.
will do. I'll remember that. tell me then, is the surf pumping?
No, it's not pumping. There is a little bit more swell out east tomorrow, tiny, but a bit of a long mid period, which is more on the longer end for east.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's more of an east angle as well. So that's promising, potentially 1 to 2 foot, so better than today.
Mm-hmm.
Giving it a 4 out of 10, pretty generous, got to say. There is cross offshore winds from the northwest in the morning, going offshore west-southwest through the day. It's moderate, becoming fresh, so it's a bit of an issue on the wind, being quite strong, but from the right direction. So yeah, worth a little, keep that in mind if you're out that way or in there, could be something. Out west, but yeah, swell's building. It's pretty wild at the moment, and tomorrow's going to be crazier. About 4 to 6 foot plus, and then bigger through the afternoon, maxing on the beaches. Winds onshore, northwest, fresh to strong, turning west southwest. So basically, washing machine out of control. 1 out of 10. So not much happening yet. Yeah, some spots, potentially, if you want to jump in the car. Locally, it's going to be pretty wild. Yeah, not really conditions you'd jump in the water for. Yeah.
Oh, well, look, the news is the news, isn't it? You're just telling it like it is.
Yeah, it's all good, mate. later in the week, perhaps, so things turn around.
Yeah.
Out west. But for now, it's gnarly, especially into midweek as well.
All right. Well, look, it's not your fault.
Oh, thanks.
I don't think anyone, no one here blames you when the surf's not, you know, when we're not quite there. No, it's all good. Well, thank you very much for your time, my friend. And I tell you what, we'll speak again next week, and you know, we'll see if the tide has turned, so to speak.
Yeah, sounds good, man.
Okay, bye. Talk to you soon. Bye bye. Okay, well, I'll let the sting say it.
That was the 95BFM Surf Report, thanks to ProGear Photographic.
Cowabunga, friend.
I'm
Kia ora, Elliot. How are you? Oh, sorry. Kia ora, Elliot. Sorry there. I had you turned down. How's it going?
Yeah, great. How you doing?
I am good. I'm enjoying cranking your song here. I always have to apologise to the people I speak to because I am turning your song down halfway through while people are enjoying it, but it's for the greater good.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
So I presume you're sitting pretty down there in Pōneke?
Yes, I certainly am.
Where you are being celebrated, I presume, on every street corner for the release of your brand new album, Certain Death.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say every street corner, but there has been celebration.
Oh, well, you know, the news overblows these things, but a very, very big congratulations to us celebrating up here. It's such a killer record.
Thank you so much. I'm super stoked to have it out.
Oh, good. And so, yeah, for those who don't know you, you're sort of a man who makes pretty interesting rock music. Would that be about fair to say? It's not by any stretch ordinary, but it does rock. I loved your last album, and I was psyched to hear you'd kind of gone there again and sort of ramped it up. And yeah, I mean, how would you say this album changes things up since the last one?
This album is more developed. It's a bigger sound. We spent more time doing it, James Goldsmith and I. The last one was very much I have no money. can we please make a record on the smell of an oily rag? Where this one was, we took our time with it, with the goal of, you know, making it familiar, different, and being a step up in terms of the size of the sound, and I guess its depth as well.
Yeah.
As you've identified, like the goal is to make interesting music. Like, I don't really have any interest in making